Today, my dear faithful, is the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. In the epistle taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 1. Brethren, we are confident in the Lord Jesus, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. As it is meet for me to think this for you all, for that I have you in my heart, and that in my bonds, and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my joy. For God is my witness how I long after you all in the love of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and in all understanding, that you may approve the better things, that you may be sincere and without offense unto the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of justice, through Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 22. At that time, the Pharisees went and consulted among themselves how to ensnare Jesus in his speech. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art a true speaker, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou dost not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, Why do you tempt me, ye hypocrites? Show me the coin of the tribute. And they offered him a penny, and Jesus saith to them, Whose image and inscription is this? They say to him, Caesar's. Then he saith to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God things that are God's. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the 13th century, my dear faithful, there was an infamous heresy spreading throughout Europe. This was the Albigensian heresy. One of the central tenets of this heresy of the Albigensians was that all physical matter is evil. Only spiritual things are good. Thus, if all material things are evil, even a person's own body is evil. For that reason, the Albigensians actually encouraged their followers to commit suicide, so as to rid themselves of their evil bodies. They also rejected the authority of governments, because governments ruled over physical bodies, and thus were made for and based on evil material things. The logical conclusion, then, is the Albigensians consider themselves free from all government authority. Thus, anarchy reigned where this heresy spread, most especially in the southern part of France. Pope Innocent III sent a cardinal to restore the peace, to speak to the heretics and try to convert them back. But the Albigensians murdered the cardinal. There was nothing left to do then but to put a stop to the anarchy by force. The Pope called for a crusade against the Albigensian anarchy. Simon de Montfort, a French count and knight, was selected to lead this army of crusaders. However, relatively few joined the army, while the Albigensians had won many followers in southern France. Despite their small number, these crusaders fought valiantly, and they won a number of notable victories. The most famous of them all was the Battle of Moray. Moray was a town in southern France that was under siege from the heretics. The city was surrounded by an army of 20,000 Albigensians. The Catholic crusaders who came to help, on the other hand, had only 1,600. The enemy thus had over 10 times as many Catholics, as many as the Catholics did. Simon de Montfort knew these numbers. He knew his chances were slight. The night before the battle, thus, Simon had his men kneel and pray throughout the night. They took out their rosary beads and prayed Our Lady's rosary until the dawn of the day of battle. Then these crusaders of God formed into three squadrons for the attack. The small Catholic army charged into the 20,000 heretics surrounding the town of Moray. And the Catholics swept through the heretics like a wave sweeping over the sand. The crusaders routed the heretics and freed the town from the siege. This battle also ended that crusade, for one of the most powerful leaders of the Albigensians was killed at this battle. Without his support, the heresy soon crumbled away. Thus, France was delivered from this threat, both to the church and to the country, by this relatively insignificant army. Now, my dear faithful, you may wonder, what does this battle have to do with you and me? It happened almost 800 years ago in a country that is almost 4,000 miles away. The answer is that it is a perfect fulfillment of our Lord's words, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render to God the things that are God's." Simon de Montfort, who is now known to us as Saint Simon de Montfort, fought for two reasons that day. He fought as a crusader to save the Catholic faith that was under attack, and he also fought to save his country from the ravages of anarchy. Both love of the faith and love of his country drove him on to fight even against such incredible odds as that. He thus rendered to God his just due, and also rendered to his country what was due to his country. This comes under the virtue of justice. God, as our creator and ruler and sovereign master, deserves every love, honor, and devotion from us. His gifts of the church and the faith are to be treasured and guarded. But we also have a debt to pay to our country. Our nation is one of the principles of our existence. God chose it out for us to be born in. And as such, we owe it our love. To hate one's country has been the universal teaching that it is a sin. We are obliged to love our country. Now compare our present time to Saint Simon de Montfort's time. A heresy had spread throughout St. Simon's country, perverted the minds and hearts of his fellow countrymen, and turned them to anarchy. Both the Catholic faith and his country were in dire straits. They were in a fight for survival. Now compare that to our times. Is not the faith in a fight for survival today? Are not the hearts and minds of our fellow countrymen being perverted by error? Is not the anarchy of sin spreading far and wide? Both the church and our country, like Saint Simon, they are in dire straits today. They are in a fight for survival. Thus, the church and America need crusaders. And who else but us, my dear faithful, will fight this battle? And yet, like the crusaders of old, we have so few. We have even fewer than St. Simon de Montfort, for we are not numbered 20 to 1 or 10 to 1, but hundreds, if not thousands, to 1. How can we fight this war? How can we help deliver the church and our country from the scourge of error and the anarchy of sin? We have the solution. We have the way to help our country, for Our Lady has given us the answer many times. Again and again, she has told us, "Pray my rosary." At Lourdes, at Fatima, at so many of her modern apparitions, our Blessed Mother has repeatedly demanded, commanded, even begged us, "Pray my rosary." She begged us to pray to her, for she is all-powerful. She is the Mother of God. Our Lord, her most perfect and obedient Son, He will do anything she asks, for her will is so united to the divine will. Just look at the thousands of recorded miracles, both physical and spiritual, that her prayers have brought about. Whether the cure of incurable diseases, or the far greater miracle of the conversions of even the most hardened of sinners. The prayers of our Blessed Mother have worked such wonders for souls. As St. Bernard of Clairvaux, a doctor of the Church, wrote in his beautiful prayer, the Memorare, "Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided." No one, then, has ever prayed to Mary and found themselves ignored. This is because, as the Mother of God, she is as all-powerful with God. And because, as our Blessed Mother, she loves us with such a great love. So long ago, 2,000 years now, our Lord gave us to her as her children, to be our mother, to love us, watch over us, and guard us. When we pray to her, our sweet mother bends over to listen to our feeble words. She smiles lovingly upon us, for she loves, as any mother would, when her children speak to them. She then takes our prayers, adds them to her own, and presents them to her divine Son. And the prayer that she especially loves to hear from us is her Blessed Rosary. Thus, my dear faithful, during this month of October, the month dedicated to Our Lady's Holy Rosary, and as well throughout our lives, we must take up the beads of our Blessed Mother. Like Simon de Montfort, we must pray Our Lady's Rosary. We must pray them for ourselves, for our loved ones, and for our church and our country. And my dear faithful, we must do this every day. The Holy Rosary takes only a few minutes, just a quarter of an hour to pray. Is that too much to give to our Blessed Mother, who watches over us every moment of our lives? Is that too much to give for our own salvation, for our country that it is in such an evil state, for the restoration of the church that has been so devastated? Pray your rosary, my dear faithful. Pray every day to our Blessed Mother that you and your loved ones may save your immortal souls. But do not forget to ask her to restore the church and to save our country from the immorality that is so rampant. Be a crusader for God and your country. Use the rosary as your weapon. Turn to our Blessed Mother, and she will turn to you. Ask her for help, for yourself and your family, for the Church and America. And know that always and every time, your prayers will not go unanswered. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.